All right, today, the children, you may go to your classes. I prepared a short sermon. Hopefully, you can finish it in about within half an hour. And then after that, we are going to have a couple of activities to honor the mothers. All right, the text for today's sermon is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 8, and it goes right through to chapter 2, verse 10. So please turn your Bible with me to Exodus, chapter 1, verse 8, and we have read right through to chapter 2, verse 10. All right, Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 say, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land.' Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their life bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor." Verse 15. "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah, and he said, 'When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew woman and see them on their birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live.' But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. And so the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, 'Why have you done this thing and save the male children alive?' And the midwife said to Pharaoh, 'Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and gave birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwife feared God that he provided household for them.' So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, 'Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive.'" Chapter 2, verse 1. "And the men of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi, and so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dubbed it in ephod and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river banks. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the Pharaoh of daughter came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, and she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And so the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the women took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and became her son. So she called his name Moses." Let's end the reading. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we begin to read and discover some of the virtues of a godly woman. So we ask the Holy Spirit to open the scripture to us that we may see. I pray, Father, that this story will be inspiring to all mothers and will encourage them. So, Lord, I pray that mothers and also the congregation members will learn from this passage, and that whatever you want to impart to us, Lord, speak to us through this word. And Lord, your grace comes with your word. So anoint your servant to speak, and with simplicity and with your anointing, that these words will be deeply embedded in the hearts of the hearer, and it may bear forth good fruit and accomplish your purpose and your will. And so Holy Spirit, come to glorify the Father and the Son in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, Amen. 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 Now today is Mother's Day, and of course this is a day to express our love, appreciation for mothers, and also to remember them. And so I'd like to begin by personally saying a very happy and blessed Mother's Day to all mothers. As I said, at the end of my sermon, there will be a couple of activities to also honor all the mothers here. Now, in the last 15 minutes or so, as you know, I've opened up a short session, a time of testimony for any church members who want to express their love and appreciations to their mothers or to their wife in her role as a mother. Now, of course, I'd like to deliver a short message to honor mothers. And the title of my message is A Mother Who Risks Her Life. Now, being a mother is not a walk in the park. It is one of the toughest jobs today. The true value of a mother is not fully appreciated. And as you know, she works 7 days a week and on call 24 hours a day, anytime, any place. And she has no leave, no sick leave, no pay, and no superannuation. All right. And so I remember that when I was a very young father, I was trying to help my wife to feed our second baby in the morning shift, feed her with milk at 3 a.m. in the morning. And so I woke up and I fed her for about 10 minutes. And then guess what? After 10 minutes, I dozed off to sleep. Literally. And then I was awakened because, you know, I was my head kind of slumped to one side. And then I was awakened. So I realized it was a tough job for mothers to do it almost every night, you know, for how many months before the baby sleep through the night. And so, let's face it, guys, mothers have a very tough job, all right, don't they? Amen. And so now let me tell you a short story. There was a young father trying to explain the concept of marriage to his four-year-old daughter. And so he took out the wedding album photographs and then went through those photographs with his daughter, thinking that the visual images would help her. Then the father kind of explained the whole wedding service to her, and when he finished, he asked the daughter any question. And the daughter then pointed a picture of the wedding party and asked, he said, "Daddy, is that the day Mommy came to work for us?" Alright, so truly mothers are the unsung heroine who quietly went about their God-given responsibility without seeking or looking for any applause. Now, for mom to do their job for free, I'm sure the only motivation is love. God somehow put this into this mother, the mother instinct, this intrinsic, what they call quality of the love for her children. And God created mother with a very unique mother heart. It is a special gift from God. And mothers carry what they call the child in the womb for 9 months. And during this period, there is this bonding between the child in the baby and the mother. And in fact, mother is a link to God. It is a child's first impression of God's love. And therefore, mothers are developers of their personalities, molders of characters, and shapers of their attitude. And this is because mother has the opportunity to personally spend the most time with her children, especially during the children's formative years, while most of the time from 9 to 5, or even sometimes longer, fathers would be out at work. And so mothers, though your work may not be maybe unseen by the public, unrecognized by many people, your role and your effort, right, will not be in vain in the sight of God. And there is no other job in the world that is rewarding and also at times, of course, heartbreaking, especially during the teenage years of your children. At times it can be heartbreaking as a mother. And so, no other job will have the influence or the impact on children like you do. And 90% of the teenager, when they ask who influences them most, they still say is their mother. Mothers do not fully realize how much they influence and teach their children. And so now I'm going to tell you a story, share you a powerful story from the Bible of a mother who risked her life. The story of Moses' mother. Now her love was so powerful that she was willing to risk her life for her son. And so once upon a time in Egypt, there was a new king of Egypt arose and he came on the scene. And Pharaoh had to declare that all the Hebrew boys born to be exterminated by throwing them into the river Nile. Now what caused this attempt to eradicate an entire race? Now the Hebrews were living in the land of Egypt in captivity as a slave. And they had grown in huge numbers. And Pharaoh was getting very nervous that the Hebrews would outnumber or overthrow the Egyptian. And so to prevent this, Pharaoh had to decree that all boys were to be killed at birth and to be thrown into the river Nile. And Moses was a Hebrew born in this cruel culture of ancient Egypt then. And it was in this very dire moment, dire situation that Moses was born. And so it was a story of hatred, murder, persecution, and of wicked men in power. And by all standards, Moses had never had a good start. Firstly, he was born to a slave. And secondly, before he was born, a death sentence was pronounced already upon him. And had he been born a girl, he would be given an opportunity to survive, but not as a boy. And so now in this story, we can see four godly traits of Moses' mothers. And so the first trait is that she risked her life for her child. And in this very hostile environment, God raised up a godly mother in this family. While everyone succumbed to this new order, one mother would not submit. She would not allow this evil Pharaoh to lay his hands on her beloved God-given child. And she had the courage to do whatever it takes to save her child. And Moses was her third child, the firstborn being Aaron, the second child was Miriam. And this mother was determined to stand firm against the forces of evil in her world, forces that wanted to destroy her son. And so in the Bible, Hebrews 11 says that Moses' parents were not afraid of the king's commandment, and she would find a way to foil Pharaoh's plan. And so she did all she could to hide her pregnancy. And after she gave birth, she had to hide this baby for 3 months. And every day for 90 days, she was risking her life by hiding the baby. Maybe you don't realize, 90 days is a long time. Now what happened if one of her nasty neighbors reported her to the police? Or one big cry and commotion from the baby, it would have attracted the attention of the neighbor of the Egyptian police. And if the Egyptian police found out, she would be executed for defying the king's order. And so in this scenario, she was prepared to risk her life for her baby. How on earth this mother get the courage to defy the king's order? Because she was a godly mother. She feared God more than men. That is why she was so bold and courageous. And so application for mothers, not only mothers, but for all of us. Do you want to be a man of courage and boldness? To be a godly person? So what is the solution? Fear God more than you fear men. The fear of God will empower you to overcome the fear of men. And Proverbs 29 verse 25 says that the fear of men brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be be saved. And this brings me to the second trait of a godly mother. She trusts in the Lord. She trusts in the Lord. After 3 months, she knew that it had become very difficult to hide Moses in the house. She knew that she had to do something else to try to save the baby's life. And so she built a little basket, and then she waterproofed that particular basket with ashwort and pitch. And then she put that basket by the river now. And Moses' sister Miriam then watched and followed the path of the basket that it took by river now. Now, were the baby survive? Any number of things could have gone wrong. The basket could have capsized, and then the baby would be drowned. And after many days, under the heat of the sun, the baby might dehydrate and die of heat stroke. And an Egyptian could have seen the baby and then throw him into the river as decreed by the king. Or a vicious crocodile could appear and then out of the water and eaten him up. But that's not what a godly mother dwell on. These are not faith building thoughts. Feeding fear does not build faith. And there was a big battle in her mind going on. What to believe, whether to worry or whether to trust the Lord. She can either focus on the things that could possibly go wrong or trust in God. And she chose to trust, and she chose faith. She chose to believe in God. And so trust and faith is a choice that you can make. The godly mother had to fully trust God that He will look after the baby in the basket. And so she chose to exercise faith. Now, how do we know? Hebrews 11 verse 23 says, by faith, it says, Moses, when he was born, was hidden by his parents. And so the parents exercised faith. And then later we see that God rewarded her for her faith. The sovereign Lord who directed her to do this was also directing Pharaoh's daughter, a princess, to come down to that river to receive the baby. Now the princess didn't know the Lord. She just thought that she was coming down to a river for a bath. But the Lord had directed her to where God wanted her to be. And so the princess kind of saw the baby. And then the moment she heard that little baby cry, God softened her heart. And then the princess sent the maid to go and find out the details of the baby. And it was a Hebrew baby boy. Now her own father actually had decreed that all Hebrew boy, to be put to death. Without God's intervention, she would have been the first one to have the baby killed. But God put compassion in her heart, in the princess' heart. And so she looked into the eyes of Moses, baby Moses, and make a decision to disobey the king's law. And next, she wondered what to do. And here comes Miriam, Moses' elder sister. God was giving this teenage sister the wisdom for that moment. And she said to the princess, shall I go and get a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And then the princess said, yes, go and do that. And so Miriam went and called her mother, and the princess met her and said, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I give you your wages. And so the woman took the child and nursed him. Now, not only this godly mother saved the life of a baby boy, she got paid by the royal household for looking after her own child. It is an incredible favor of God. Only God could orchestrate such thing. And God richly rewarded this godly mother for her faith. Now, let us now just pause, backtrack the story a bit, and then see any area for life application. Now imagine you are Moses' parents, and you have a son born in this very hostile environment, and you face a life-threatening situation, and you are told by your parents and your foreparents that you are God's covenanted people, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're coming from that covenant blessing. And it says there are great promises coming through Abraham. And then you're going to be blessed, and you're going to be a blessing. But the reality that you see is totally opposite. You are a slave to an ungodly Egyptian, and the evil one seems to be the very blessed one. And you might be tempted to get angry with God and question God in your heart. Where is the blessing? We've got nothing good, only suffering. And if that weren't bad enough, now they have decreed to kill all our baby boys. Would you be angry and think that way? What if Moses' parents had thought that way? That kind of thinking would have killed their faith. We would not be reading their faith story if they had gone down the path. The parents would not be listed as one of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, why did I bring this up? Because some of you may be facing similar adverse and dire situation, and you may face similar temptation. Maybe you're tempted to wonder why all these undeserved things happen to you. That is when we have to remember the God that we serve. God is full of goodness and wisdom, and He will never, never do us wrong. And we can trust Him. And God had everything under control when it looks like He had nothing under control. Some of these things, you don't get to see the reason. You can only understand it in heaven. Some of these things, you can only understand perhaps a few generations after. And so, the story continues. So, we have to choose to trust God despite our dire circumstances, though you don't understand. Now, let me get back to the story. Now, Moses' mother was given a few years to raise her own child in the princess house. What shall this mother do to raise up her own son in this limited but formative years? And so the thirdly, a godly mother teaches a child to love and reverence God. We know this godly mother used those formative years to teach Moses about God. She wanted to teach her son the ways and the love of God. And she instilled into her a deep faith in God. I'm sure she told Moses over and over again about God's promises given to Abraham concerning them. Even though it must be a few decades ago, the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so, Moses' mother's faith was strong and authentic. And progressively, her faith rubbed into the heart of his son, her son. And faith is more caught than taught, but it must come first with teaching. And by the time Moses left her care, Moses was very well established in the Hebrew faith. Now, how do we know that? Because the books of Hebrew told us, verse 24 to verse 26, it says, By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. What reward? Eternal reward. Now, who taught Moses about eternal reward? Moses' godly mother did. As a mother, remember, your children's soul is more important than their body or their possession. Your children's eternal life is more important than their success in this life. Your children's relationship with Jesus is more important than the popularity in the world. Your children's standing before God is more important than their social status. Your children's spirituality is more important than their intellect or career accomplishment. Now, your home is far more effective in reaching and in teaching your children than any other preaching or church program. Parents, grandparents, our children do what they see in our homes. And it is a hard truth, but every home is a teaching church. They teach about faith. They teach about religion. Every home is a living church in action. The church, they either teach paganism or Christianity. A godly mother who teaches God is like a candle that is lighting the way for the future, preparing their children and the young ones to turn over to God. And so, a mother who models and passes her authentic faith is without doubt also a praying woman. One cannot imagine Moses' mom not praying for Moses. And therefore, continue, parents, to pray for your children for their spiritual destiny. Your spiritual investment in your children is an investment in eternity. Lastly, a godly mom submit and does her role faithfully to the Lord. Moses' mom lived in a very humble setting, poor economic and social status. And her situation was very difficult. The whole Hebrew community was living in slavery, and her son was born under a death threat. And there was little hope for the future, and she did not know what would her future hold. But she did her part faithfully and did not complain about her adversity. She did not know why God would allow her to go through this pain and the suffering, but she submitted to God. She just had to do her motherly role faithfully in those very trying circumstances. And we like to know, of course, the reason for all our undeserved pain and suffering. We want to know why this thing happened. We want to know what is the outcome, what the outcome will be. However, just like Moses' mom's situation, we may not know the answers. We must leave them in God's hand and trust Him to work out the details for good. God does have a plan. Our role is simply trust and obey as He directs us step by step. What is the outcome? The final outcome. Moses' mother raised up 3 children greatly used by God. Though they may not be perfect, but they were all greatly used by God. First born, Aaron. He was the first high priest of Israel. Second child, Miriam, the first prophetess and the first anointed worship leader of the nation of Israel. And then the third son, of course, Moses, the revered leader who led and delivered the nation of Israel out of slavery. And Moses was the lawgiver and who personally received and gave God's law on Mount Sinai. And he was the one chosen to write the first 5 books of the Bible. And so, Moses' mother had a great heritage through her children. And God rewarded this godly mother with a rich, very rich spiritual legacy for her faithfulness. What is the name of Moses' mother? When we read these first 2 chapters, no name was mentioned. Her name was not mentioned, not revealed in this story, until you go into Exodus chapter 6. And her name is Jochebed. That is why I didn't pronounced her name in the beginning of the sermon. That is deliberate. She is an unsung heroine. I think the Bible is deliberate. One click, please. In not revealing her name until later in chapter 6. God is telling us something. There are many unsung hero and heroine in His kingdom. And when we get to heaven, we will see we have lots of surprises. Many unknowns, but faithful and committed Christians who go about doing their role hidden behind the scene. And these people do not want the limelight. The world may not know them well, but God knows them. And truly, many mothers are the unsung heroine who quietly go about their God-given responsibility without seeking or looking for any applause. And Jochebed is one of them. And she overcame all odds by God's grace under very harsh environment. And we saw similar story in the Bible. Hannah gave birth to Samuel almost under very difficult circumstances. And Mary gave birth to Jesus also with a death threat over her child. And they all had overcome. And so must we. And so can we by God's grace. No matter how difficult the circumstances are, trust God. We all have a role to play. May it be big, may it be small, may it be significant or insignificant. But we must stay faithful to the role that God has assigned us. And we have a script to live out in God's big story. And so, in closing, if you are a mom, remember this. Don't underestimate your value in God's kingdom. The things that you do for your children may look insignificant or trivial, but God uses you to mold and to shape lives. Moms play an important role, and we are all blessed by them and because of them. In closing, once again, mothers and grandmothers, we salute you for your role in raising up children. And God bless you with a rich legacy. And may your children rise up and call you blessed. Your husband also praise you. Amen. Amen. Amen.